and to touch upon something rather different. Some of them, no doubt, must have remembered stories concerning what we would call miracles, all sorts of odd things that used to happen when the Buddha was about, sort of supernormal happenings, even, as it were, miraculous, something for which there was no rational explanation. And they might have remembered also, they might have recalled also how people used to say that when the Buddha was staying anywhere during the night, you'd see marvelous figures hovering around, going to see the Buddha, going to meet the Buddha, even going to speak with the Buddha. And how sometimes it might even be the Buddha would speak to them, give them instruction during the night, just as he gave to human beings during the day. So surely after the death, after the parinirvana of the Buddha, stories of this kind, anecdotes of this kind, from the life of the master, must still have been very, very fresh in the hearts and in the minds of the disciples. And surely many of them must have felt that these stories, stories like the story of the sick monk and the story of Kisagotami, these conveyed something of tremendous importance. And many of them might have felt that these stories, these incidents from the life of the Buddha, exhibiting the qualities of the Buddha, conveyed something that the teaching itself, the formal teaching, the four truths, the eightfold path, the five skandhas and so on, did not succeed in conveying. In other words, the stories, the anecdotes, the incidents, these were able to convey the personal influence of the Buddha, the personal effect of the Buddha on the minds and the hearts of the people with whom he came in contact. They conveyed, in other words, the impact, the direct impact of an enlightened being above and beyond all words. And we can get an example of this, a very beautiful example, from the story of Ananda. Ananda, you probably know, was the cousin of the Buddha, one of the Buddha's cousins. And for 20 years, more than 20 years, he was the Buddha's personal attendant. He went with the Buddha everywhere. If the Buddha was invited for lunch, Ananda went. If the Buddha went to give a sermon, Ananda went. If the Buddha received visitors, answered questions, Ananda was present. He was always there. He was the Buddha's shadow, as it were, his personal attendant, his servant, his disciple. And the Buddha, we gather, was all in all to him. And when the Buddha was about to pass away, Ananda, we can understand, felt it more deeply than anybody. And the Mahaparinirvana Sutra relates to us the scene. The Buddha was inside, as it were, dying. And the Ananda, we are told, went to the door of the hermitage where the Buddha was staying at that moment, before he moved out into the open air. And Ananda, we're told, stood leaning against the lintel. Door must have been very, very low, and he was just leaning with his elbow against the lintel. And as he was leaning there in that way, he was thinking that the Buddha was going to pass away very soon, within a matter of hours, or most within a matter of days. And he was so upset, he was so grieved, that he was weeping bitterly. And as he wept, he said to himself, the master is about to pass away from me, he who is so kind. These were Ananda's words, which were heard by other disciples and reported to the Buddha, who then called Ananda. And these words of Ananda, as he stood there, leaning against the lintel of the door and weeping, these words are of the very greatest significance. Ananda, as I said, had been with the Buddha 20 years. He'd heard the Buddha deliver hundreds of discourses, no doubt often abstruse, deeply philosophical, deeply mystical discourses. He'd heard him answer thousands of questions. He must have admired his brilliance, his affability, the very easy way in which he handled difficult questions. And no doubt Ananda also must have witnessed all sorts of odd things about the Buddha, all sorts of strange, sort of supernormal happenings. But what was the overall impression of the Buddha's person, of the Buddha's character, upon Ananda after those 20 years when he'd heard so much? Well, the overall impression which the Buddha made upon Ananda is given in those few words, which Ananda uttered as he wept, "He who is so kind." So this is very important, this is very significant. Not "he who is so wise," or "he who is so enlightened," or "he who has such a deep philosophical understanding," or "he who is such a brilliant debater," or "he who has worked so many miracles," or "he who is so brave or so tireless." Not that, but "he who is so kind." This was the overall impression of the Buddha after 20 years of intimate day-to-day contact. "He who is so kind." And we can say that half of Buddhism is in that remark. The origin of the Bodhisattva ideal is in that remark. So how is that? We may say that the Buddha's wisdom is revealed in the teaching. The Four Truths, the Eightfold Path, the chain of conditioned co-production, the analysis of the being into the five skandhas, all sorts of other deep, difficult, abstruse teachings found in the scriptures. These teachings embody the Buddha's wisdom. But his love and his compassion, his sympathy, which had so greatly, so deeply impressed Ananda more than anything else, this love and this compassion was revealed in his life and his personal example.